Our gospel lesson this morning comes to us from the 18th chapter of Luke's gospel. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. Jesus said, "In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. And in that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' And for a while, he refused. But later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In her book, Traveling Mercies, Annie Lamott remarks that most prayers are a variation of "help me, help me, help me," or "thank you, thank you, thank you." If those are two of the primary forms of prayer, I will add a third. Make it right, make it right, make it right. As another primary form of prayer is protest or anger, and sometimes even rage. "I've been wronged. Make it right, God." Today's parable is in response to a request for instruction in prayer. Jesus begins by saying there was in a certain city a judge with no fear of God and no respect of people. And in that same city, there was a widow who kept coming every day saying, "I've been wronged, make it right, give me justice." And the judge paid her no attention until her persistence caused him to act, saying, "Unless I act, she's going to wear me out with her knocking." You know, we're uncomfortable with this story. Perhaps because we know it so well. It's the story of powerlessness banging on the locked door of power. Jill and I are probably on our 8th password for our cell phone account, as we've gotten caught in those person-free loops. When you key in the wrong asterisk, and that's what they are when you're keying them in, is asterisks, and suddenly the security system takes the account down, your grandmother's maiden name, your street address in 1965, the color of your first car are of no avail to cut through that eternal loop of frustration and powerlessness. We have an election this year that has been characterized as a change election. People feel frustrated as jobs and meaning, purpose, well-being, and their own interpretation of the pursuit of happiness is passing them by, and they feel powerless. I suspect all of us have experienced the pain and disorientation of the more cosmic version of this story as cries for justice and help appear to be unheard. You know, prideful, we think we're the first generation of people or the first generation of believers to have a problem with prayer. But throughout Scripture, there's wrestling with prayer, its purpose, its efficacy. You know, we're not the first to notice that it doesn't work on demand. You know, not only does Luke have Jesus give the Lord's Prayer in response to the disciples' request on how to pray, but we're given in the Gospel of Luke a whole chronicle of praying. You know, when Jesus was first baptized, what? He was praying. On the night before choosing the 12 apostles, he prayed all night. Jesus took some of the disciples to go to the mountain where he was transfigured, and while there, what was he doing? Praying. It was while he was praying that the question is asked, "Who do you say that I am?" And of course, Luke does not show prayer as something casual or easy, as Jesus breaks out into a sweat of blood at the Garden of Gethsemane. And so when we read the story of a widow banging on the door of a judge, it is a story set inside a larger story of powerlessness banging on the door, the closed door of power. It's not just the parallels with the protest movement of Jesus that makes it familiar, does it? In our own church family, we have people banging on the door of justice for immigrants. And the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, appears to neither fear God or respect people. It was not just Elizabeth Warren, you know, banging on the door of justice as financial institutions commit fraud and endanger accounts of millions of customers, allow their leaders to give notice and to walk with millions of dollars. It's as if they neither fear God or respect people. You know, too many times we've seen protestations of innocence fall on deaf ears of a justice system that neither fears God or respects people. You know, what happens to people when they get in one of those endless loops of powerlessness, you know, banging on the door, the closed door of power? What happens? They lose heart. They lose heart. You know, the fabric of our political system is being torn as people have lost heart that it makes a difference. It's not just the falsely accused that have lost heart in the justice system. Losing heart opens the door to a world where everyone lays claim to vengeance. You know, people in the environmental movement are worried about those who are losing heart that there's any alternative to weather extremes being normative for our grandchildren. How do you keep from losing heart? It's right there in the Scripture. Pray always. You know, we're tempted to keep our eyes on the judge who neither fears God nor respects people and wait for him to change because we've seen that work. Bernstein and Woodward kept following the money even when it led to the White House. Aaron Brockovich's tenacity resulted in Pacific Gas and Electric paying $333 million in damages to the people in Hinckley. Waiting for the judge to be shamed into being just is just one part of the story. Even in a world of compromises and protected privilege, justice can occur, but too often only as the result of an annoyingly persistent person. You know, isn't that the truth? Jesus keeps us focused on an annoyingly persistent person, the poor widow. Make it right, make it right, make it right. Cokie Roberts tells a story in her book, Capital Dames, The Civil War and the Women of Washington, that Jessie Fremont, this is the wife of General John Fremont, came to visit President Lincoln in Washington. Jessie was the daughter of Thomas Hart Benton, and thus she knew and was known in the political and society circles of Washington. In addition, she had married the popular General John Fremont, who was defeated for the presidency in the previous election in 1856. Upset that her husband was not being equipped with enough men and material, she wrote badgering letters and finally decided she should take her calls directly to the president himself. And due to political maneuvering, surprise, surprise, her visit was complicating and causing Lincoln to recall in his meeting, "She sought an audience with me at midnight and taxed me so violently with many things I had to exercise all the awkward tact I have to avoid quarreling with her." Now, I do have to say that while Mrs. Fremont was persistent in this case with meeting the president, she was not persuasive, but that's another story. But there is another story about a woman going to Washington, and this is a story about Mother Teresa going to visit Edward Bennett Williams, a legendary criminal lawyer. He was a powerful man. At times, he owned the Washington Redskins and the Baltimore Orioles. And he represented folks like Frank Sinatra and, at one point, Richard Nixon. Evan Thomas's biography of Williams tells the story of when Mother Teresa went to visit Edward Williams because she was raising money for an AIDS hospice. Williams was in charge of a small charitable foundation that she hoped he would help. And before she arrived for the appointment, Williams said to his partner, Paul Dietrich, "You know, Paul, I really don't want to make a contribution, but I've got this Catholic saint coming to see me, and I don't know what to do." Well, they agreed that they would be polite, hear her out, and say no. Mother Teresa arrives. She was like a little sparrow sitting on the other side of the big mahogany desk. And she made her appeal for hospice, and William said, "You know, we're touched by your appeal, but no." Mother Teresa said simply, "Let us pray." Williams looked at Dietrich, Dietrich looked at Williams, they bowed their heads, and after the prayer, Mother Teresa made the same pitch, word for word. Williams again politely said, "No." Mother Teresa said, "Let us pray." Williams, exasperated, looked to the ceiling and said, "All right, where's my checkbook?" Jesus wants us to pray like Mother Teresa. Pray like the widow, that persistent, annoying person. Bang on the closed door of power to unceasingly cry out to heaven. But that's not all. Yes, a part of the story is be feisty, pray always. You know, one lesson in prayer is to utilize the make it right, make it right, to make it right. But Jesus ends his commentary with this moral: pray always and don't lose heart. Not losing heart is more than waiting on a bad judge to change or a widow to be persistent and banging on the closed door of power. Not losing heart is about losing your heart to the one whose child you are, losing your heart to the God who has loved you from the womb, the God who loved creation into being, who loved people with the gift of law and purpose and justice, losing your heart to the God who welcomes exiles' homes and writes that law on their heart, losing your heart to the God whose anointed one died banging on the closed door of power, and losing your heart to the God whose anointed one did not remain locked behind a locked door of death. If an evil judge can be shamed into making it right, how much more will the God who loves you? So pray. Lose your heart to God. You know, it can be help me, help me, help me, or thank you, thank you, thank you, or make it right, make it right, make it right. Pray always, and don't lose heart. Thanks be to God. Amen.